Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We are so grateful to be with you this afternoon, and thank you for tuning in to us here on 97.1 FM Talk, St. Louis's home for conservative talk. We're discussing this throughout the course of the show. Do Democrat elites really think Trump supporters are garbage? Yes or no? You can go leave your vote in the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Some of the comments that are left here by listeners so far, Erica says a lot of them do, especially the Democrat leaders. I'm a proud deplorable. That word certainly has stuck over the course of the years. I mean, that was 2016, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was during the campaign.
Jackie says, yes, they have shown their disdain in various ways. Brian says, it's pretty clear what the Dems think. Hillary called us deplorables and unredeemable. Biden has spent 4 years demonizing MAGA and now garbage. I now identify with Oscar the Grouch. It's kind of interesting to watch, in my opinion, Republicans, Trump supporters specifically, that you hear that Trump says that you're garbage, and Republicans are like, I guess we're garbage. Like, there's not the sense of rage, you know, that follows something like that. And now I've seen Trump refer to, I guess it was Hillary, as a nasty woman. And then you see a lot of women who are in support of Hillary doing the same thing. You now see the nasty woman shirts or whatever it might be. The interesting thing, this is a weird path to follow, so make sure you follow me all the way to the end. I really question Donald Trump's campaign choosing to put Kill Tony in that set of people who were going to speak at Madison Square Garden. And I sent this to our boss, Steve. Have you seen the Jon Stewart clip talking about that?
Yes.
Have you seen it?
Maybe. I don't.
He's doing his Jon Stewart Daily Show thing, and he plays a clip of Kill Tony's, I guess it's Tom Brady's roast or something like that. I don't know. He's roasting somebody. And Kill Tony makes three jokes that are of racial content. It's a roast. That's what happens at these things. When those things happen at roasts, everybody ends up laughing about it. You don't go to a I mean, honestly, if you go to a roast and you're a celebrity and you're invited and you don't get made fun of, how do you feel?
A little bit left out of the club at that point.
One of them was, who's the comedian? He's really short. He's black.
Kevin Hart.
One of them was Kevin Hart. I think there was
Gronk.
Gronk was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
He just makes these racial jokes, and that's what he does. You invite him to be on the campaign. I don't know what they thought that he was going to do other than what he does. But in a roundabout way, we used to live in a country where people said things and you made a judgment on it and then you went on with your day. That you didn't have to like signal to the world how you feel about everything, not because you feel that strongly about it, but just so that you make sure that nobody is going to apply to you the wave of hate that will righteously be heaped upon you if you don't do the tap dance the way that you're supposed to do the tap dance. If you don't hit all of your marks in time, in lockstep with everybody else. That is a power structure that has manipulated culture for a decade, at minimum a decade. We have been so careful for so long. Why? Because we're nice people. In general, we're kind people where our thoughts might be like Jon Stewart said. And I talked to Steve about this, about playing this clip. And we were both like, we can probably play it, but I don't know if we should play it because it's got these off-color jokes in it.
Steve, our boss.
Yeah. Yes. And I don't want to be like, we don't do a show here. We're not a shock jock show at all. I always want my kids to be able to go back and listen to my show. And I don't want to be I don't want them to listen to the show and be like, Mom, you know, I respect the fact that you might have your kids in the car at any time. We used to live in a society where jokes were jokes. We grew up with sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And there was an emphasis on the idea that, like, you can be stronger than the words that are used against you. If somebody's going to use violence on you, that's a whole different story. But that words aren't violence. The idea that words are violence There's like a concept there that's worth flushing out and having a conversation about. But we've actually justified real, actual violence in this country in the last 10 years over words. And it's so inverted and upside down. In a country where we have a First Amendment and free speech, we have to live in a society where people are able to say things that people disagree with, that people are able to say things that some people might find offensive, and not justify violence over offense. There's this weird thing that's like kind of rolling around in my head that, like, if Donald Trump is able to pull off a victory next week, like, a lot of people are really actively right now working to be prepared to be offended again all of the time. But it's like, I don't really care about that anymore, because nobody cares about what offends me. Nobody cares that as a Christian person, I'm offended by the way culture is right now. My Christian faith says that there are so many things in a broken, sinful world that are massively offensive to me. My own sin is massively offensive to me. I am a part of the problem. All of this stuff is offensive, but for some reason, that part doesn't matter right now because of my place in some social hierarchy that has been manipulated and managed by power structures that have made tons and tons and tons of money off of making sure that they get to control the language. Once again, I watched Am I Racist again last night, Matt Walsh's movie. It's streaming on Daily Wire right now. You need to see it if you haven't. And the thing about that movie that is so compelling to me is that Matt Walsh never makes the case that racism isn't real. Matt Walsh never makes the case that racism doesn't exist. Matt Walsh makes the case that there are people making loads of money off of ensuring that you are scared as hell of being called a racist, being labeled a racist, being accused of being a racist. It is an industry to control the way people do life, the way they think, the way they speak. There is a massive, lucrative industry that is just based off of people's fear of being labeled or associated with something that they never, ever, ever would intend to be associated with. Who you are as a person, who you are as an American, who you are as a white person, who you are as a non-white person, who you are as a male, who you are as a female, none of that has anything to do with anything, because they get to create a system where everybody is inherently racist. There's nothing you can do about your inherent racism. The only thing you can do is be less racist, and it's a daily thing that they will sell you. That's the whole makeup of it. And so there's these power structures that exist because they've controlled all the levers of communication for so long in Hollywood and music and in the media industry, that once those have started to crumble and there are alternative media outlets for people to go peek around the corner and see, like, oh my gosh, those people are more like me. Those are kind of like real people. And there's no massive power structure over them that's keeping the beast completely contained, that free speech beast that exists in America and makes us free. They've had their hands squarely on the levers of power for quite some time. And I feel like the Trump campaign saying, let them be on there, is in some way, shape, or form a nod to free speech. And I think that it's a stupid one to make. I feel like, don't do that after the election. If you want to do that after the election. It's a risk to take it right now. But I just feel like there are no people. There are no people. I know caller Michael, appreciate him calling in when we open the phones. Supports the left. I know that the point he was making there is that there are going to be Puerto Ricans who heard what that comedian said an hour and a half or whatever before Trump spoke at that rally, that there are going to be hundreds of thousands of Puerto Ricans who are not going to vote for Trump right now. I bet there aren't 10.
It's a lot less than outrage would suggest.
There are not 10 people who, with less than a week to go, are like mulling over, gosh, I just don't know if I can support this guy. If they're Puerto Ricans who are in America and able to vote, they understand the poverty that has ravaged Puerto Rico. Marco Rubio is a perfect example of the understanding of coming from those areas and understanding what abject poverty does to people who come to this country, their absolute passionate love for America. That doesn't translate into, yeah, we'll dabble in socialism. That doesn't translate. Those people are not in play.
And you know that they're trying to use it as a political tool because Joe Biden, in quotes, issued a statement today about his real quote from yesterday from the Vote Latino podcast that he was on or whatever that was, that Zoom call. And it said, well, Trump is out there trashing Latinos, like all Latinos, not Puerto Rico. And also, it wasn't Trump. It was a comedian. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing to watch the machine roll out. Because what's funny is when a comment like that hits the news, I watched a couple people in my life, my wife being one of them, see that news hit and go, oh no, here we go. Because they were bracing not for the sort of the comments or the voting. They were bracing for the machine. What's the machine going to do now? And how is this going to impact the next couple days for me of having to sift through this when I really would like to read real news?
If Donald Trump went out there and, you know, the first thing he said when he came out at Madison Square Garden was the question you need to ask yourself is, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? That's the message that people are asking themselves when they're deciding if they should go vote and who they should vote for. If Donald Trump would have come out and been like, Puerto Rico, man, what a dump. Then I would be like, facepalm, what are you talking about? He didn't say that. Donald Trump didn't say that about Puerto Rico. Somebody at his event did. That brushes off a little bit on him. They made the statement that they don't, that the campaign does not stand by those statements. And that's not enough. Of course, that's not enough. Joe Biden, the guy who, like, literally is the president of the United States, the guy who represents you right now at the highest level of American government, has just come out and said that half of the people in this country are garbage. It's 50-50. He's the guy who sold us a bill of goods in his inauguration speech talking about unity. The same crap that Kamala Harris is trying to shovel into your lap right now to say she wants unity. Well, you've had 4 years to give it a shot, and you've been calling people fascists and Nazis that don't support you for the last 2 weeks. Doesn't really feel like you mean it.
Yeah, we're supposed to take a comedian seriously, but the president not seriously. That's what
the comedian who spoke early at that Madison Square Garden rally is a bigger influence on Donald Trump's presidency than the actual president over the vice president who is running right now saying these kinds of things. I mean, like, we don't even really need to explain it any further than that.
No, because this is the same game that's been played well before Donald Trump. This is the same machine that's been working for, you know, probably since the mid-90s. This became a thing.
Aren't you ready for being after the election and having, all right, that's how it is.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Like, whatever it is, okay.
Well,
you either go stick your head in the sand.
Yeah.
Or you just kind of, you give that smile to people. Can't stop smiling, and somebody smiles back, and you're like, wink, wink. And then you just keep moving through the Walmart aisles or whatever it is.
It's funny you say that, because right before we started the 2 o'clock hour, I walked out there, and I said, you know what? I actually, for the first time, am tired of this election.
Yes.
I like crunching the numbers. I like the horse race. I like the lead up. I like the strategy.
I'm done.
Like watching these people do their thing and watching through, you know, being able to see through it and see what's really going on. I just hit that point that I said, okay, Tuesday can be here now. I'm ready.
Wednesday.
Based on the early voting numbers, a lot of people feel that way. Like, just let me vote and
Get it over with.
Let's take a quick break and go vote in the YouTube live chat poll and get that over with, too. Andy Fry YouTube channel. Do Democrat elites really think that Trump supporters are garbage, like Joe Biden said? Did he even really mean it? Maybe you don't even think he meant it. Melinda called in earlier, and she's like, I support Trump. I don't really think that he was speaking for everybody necessarily, because she doesn't really think that he's saying anything really that intentionally. And I understand that, too. Let's have some fun on the Andy Fry Show when we come back. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We're all over 40. Some of us a little bit more than others. Do you feel your age? Does it affect you? Because I think when you're under 40, you don't really feel your age. It's not really a thought. You're just you.
Yeah. Well, you start to get there. It's a gradient.
Yeah.
But it there is something magic about that number.
It's rude.
That when you hit it, things don't feel as easy.
What about mentally?
I don't feel any different.
Do you have a different outlook on life at all?
Well, outlook. There's the over the hill thing where you go, man, I hope that I've got really good years ahead of me.
Doesn't that really feel more like the boomer? Like our parents went through 40 and over the hill, but I don't feel like our generation is treating it the same.
Well, you can
maybe the hill is 50 now.
You can just tell. Well, I hope so. That means the average life expectancy would be 100. You can tell that when you, like, for instance, watch a movie from the 70s or even 80s, maybe 90s too, and somebody who's the dad of the teenager, man, they look old. Now you look at somebody who's that same age in real life, and you don't think that person looks that old. But you definitely did then.
Do you think that they, like, if you go back and watch that same person in the 70s, do you think that they look old now that you're closer to that age?
Yes. I still think they look old. That's the thing, is that I think healthcare and the way that we treat just the way we present ourselves looks so different. And there are people, they say that 70 is the new 60 and all that. You know, people travel, people are much more active later in life than they used to be, probably because life is not as hard as it used to be physically.
Did you see Father of the Bride? Steve Martin, Diane Keaton?
I mean, probably right when it came out.
I've got a picture of it up here on the YouTube live. But if you remember Steve Martin, I love that movie, and Diane Keaton, they're supposed to be 45. And if I saw them right now, I would think they looked 70.
Yeah, some of that's fashion, for sure, but the fact that people just are active longer now is true. That's a fact.
It's just weird to look back at what we grew up of what, like, quote-unquote old people looked like, and the age that we associated with old. It just seems very, very different right now. Apartmenttherapy.com wrote an article, and I'm going to read this to you guys, and you can tell me if you have maybe clung to these things a little bit too long. 11 things to get rid of after 40. And I find this list to be interesting and probably applicable to my life. Number one, I don't know if this is as much as a man thing, but going out tops from college.
Wait a minute. Going out? Oh, shirts?
Things that tops? You would wear to go out.
Is that a real guy that wrote that? Because we don't call him tops.
I didn't say that it was a man that wrote it, but I do. It is definitely not a man that wrote it. Shifra Comiths, I think is her last name, on apartmenttherapy.com. Do you save any of your old, like, this is my, I'm going out and looking good, outfit, shirt, tie, I don't know, jacket, cool dude getup?
No.
Did you ever have that? When you were a young whippersnapper, maybe before you were engaged or before you were dating your beautiful wife, did you have kind of a few go-tos?
Look.
Yes, you did.
Everybody has go-to shirts.
What was your go-to
even
shirt?
Even now.
What was your go-to cool dude shirt when you were trying to make an impression on people?
I'll tell you exactly what it was. And this is funny because I ended up doing this for a living. I had a shirt that was kind of ridiculous because it was just the seal of the Illinois Supreme Court. And it looked good on me, and it made no sense.
Who told you it looked good on you?
Me. And therefore, I wore it pretty often.
Yeah? Whenever it was clean, first one worn?
That was my shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was just like, why? Why are you wearing a shirt that says seal of the Supreme Court of Illinois?
That really
I have
is,
no idea.
That really is like very good advertising for you.
How so?
Because someone goes, why are you wearing that shirt? And you're like, I don't have a reason other than it's completely ridiculous.
Yeah, you want to go on a date?
Okay. What about you, Brad? Cool dude stuff?
I don't have any cool dude stuff. And I'm not really sure that I had like favorite shirts, but they were just t-shirts. It wasn't like I liked it because of the way it fit. Not necessarily because it was this makes me look good. I felt this is comfortable. So...
You know, you have to answer that question, too.
Oh, sure.
You did and do?
I don't know if I have anything left from college. My problem is that, not my problem, my blessing is that I've had four babies. So the sizes that I have been in my life from college to where I am right now, I'm kind of in like my middle size. I have weighed more than I weigh right now. I've weighed less than I weigh right now, but I'm in that standard female. I could stand to lose 10 to 15 pounds. But I'm still active and I'm still like physically involved in athletics and stuff like that. So I've gotten rid of the big stuff. I've gotten rid of the things that I would wear post baby or the non-maternity clothes that I would wear as I was growing in pregnancy. I've gotten rid of all of that stuff. I've tried to get rid of the stuff that I don't think I'm realistically going to fit in anymore that looks good because I just don't like to look at it in my closet any longer. There's some other stuff. Every once in a while I'll go in there, I'm like, I have to get rid of every single thing. When I go in my closet and I'm like, no. There are maybe five times a year I'll go in and everything that I say that to, I take out and get rid of. And then for some reason, I still have a ton of clothes.
I had a shirt when I was in fourth or fifth grade that was a Dare shirt. It was gigantic.
Yeah.
And I loved wearing that thing to bed. I think that I need to find a new, like, 4XL Dare shirt that I can just wear to bed every night. Those are the best days.
Number two, DVDs and CDs. You still have them?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have it in your... I have mine in my folder still somewhere.
I don't play a lot of DVDs anymore. I do have some series that you can't find anywhere that I will watch every now and then. But I still listen to CDs because both of my cars are 10 years old. They have CD players.
So they take them? We have DVDs because our car takes DVDs. So I will buy DVDs at yard sales because most people are getting rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I can use them for the car. So we still have those. I have my CDs, but I have no idea where they are.
The only thing about the DVDs now is that when you go to a secondhand store or yard sale or whatever, you're going to see the same 200 DVDs.
Yeah.
It's the same movies.
Yeah.
And if you find something that's different, it's really a surprise.
DVDs and CDs, Brad?
Lots of DVDs.
Do you use them?
My wife does. Remington Steele, it's an older TV series with Pierce Brosnan. She loves that show, and she's got the DVD set. Anymore, though, if we want to watch another TV series, we just get it on Amazon Prime or whatever.
Yeah, just stream it.
I don't know that I have any of my CDs. I might have one book, and like it's just kind of there.
Book?
Yeah, the little holder.
Oh.
And you'll open it up, and when I look at the CDs... It's like, oh, I remember where I was whenever I would listen to this one or whatever. And it takes me back to that moment. But I don't even have a CD player in my truck anymore. It's all multimedia.
Number three, cookware you haven't used in the last decade. What you remember the stuff you got for your wedding? Like you reserved all of the appliances so you could make all of the appliances that make one individual thing.
Yeah, that was popular for a while. We still have a quesadilla maker and a rice cooker.
Do you use them?
Yeah, we do. But that's why we keep just those two around. Everything else, the pizza cookers that were going around for a while, those were so cool to watch, but they took up space, and they are totally unnecessary.
I hate individualized appliances.
Yeah.
It's just, they just take up space. We have an air fryer type of a thing.
Well, we have that now, too.
That does multiple things. I don't know, my husband cooks most of the time in our house, and it does a lot of things, and it sits on the counter, and it takes up space, but it gets used every day.
Exactly.
What about you?
Yeah, I don't know that we have any of that stuff. I mean, like the flatware that Terry got, we still have that she picked out. But no.
Do you use it?
Oh, yeah. Plates every day, plates and bowls and all that
stuff.
Here's
a weird question. If you were to buy a tiny house now, like maybe this becomes a trend, do you even need an oven really anymore?
Yes.
Like, oh, yeah. Could you get by, though?
Two.
I understand that you would want an oven, but do you need an oven to live life?
Yes.
Because I think you could get by with a little toaster oven and an air fryer.
I'm sure you could.
And a few of those things now.
The palette of fried appetizers that you would pop in that thing?
Uh-huh.
No, I definitely would. I definitely would. Number four, personal care items you don't use. I need to do this so bad. If I went to my bathroom and I looked at all of the bottles that I have in my bathroom that I've collected over the years that are half full, maybe three quarters full, and I just didn't, for whatever reason, use them, I haven't thrown them away. I just need to get rid of all of them. They just need to go. And if I decide that I need said thing again, then I can go probably for $5 to $8, go find it at Walmart and purchase it again.
I agree.
Do you have, I know that women tend to have more things in the bathroom like that, but do you have like old colognes? Do you have old things of shaving cream or
no,
an aftershave guy?
I only have new things of shaving cream and cologne and loofahs, and you know, I've got several
bath salts,
several different loofah cases that I kind of keep in the shower because you never know what kind of mood you're in, you know. But I would say that all the stuff I have, I'm using.
What about your wife?
You have to ask her. I don't know.
Do you share the same bathroom?
No, we don't. I have a downstairs shower that I use. So
do you even go in her bathroom?
Nope. Well, I go in the bathroom, yes, but I don't shower or bathe in there.
So you don't know her stuff?
No.
What a lucky one.
No idea.
What about you, Brad?
Well, my wife has her own bathroom as well. I have more stuff than I care to admit. Most of it's like beard care stuff, and that comes and goes as I grow my beard out or keep it short. If I keep it short, there's no need to keep all that oil that you put in your beard when it's longer. But outside of that, there's not really a ton of healthcare stuff that I keep.
Unused outerwear. It says outerwear often involves a larger expenditure than regular clothing, which can make it difficult to part with. Coats that you don't really like, you replace the coat because you need a new coat, but you don't get rid of the coat that you replaced just in case of what?
It's all true. I still have an old coat that I don't even like this coat. It's big, it's heavy, and it's not even that warm.
I always think there's somebody right now that would love to have this coat.
Yeah.
And so that's why I end up keeping all of those things. Blankets, too, that I need to get rid of in my house. I'm like, I don't want to just throw them away because somebody could use those things. But then that's where the process stops.
Who's going to use this Charlotte Hornets starter jacket?
Somebody who's cold.
Or a collector, because that is really old at this point.
Do you keep on your old stuff?
Not coats. No, I've got a work coat, I've got a regular coat, and then I've got like a, what do you call it, a pea coat that goes over your suit. I got one of those, and those are the three winter coats that I have.
Supplies from former hobbies. You're really into something, much. And then you're like not into it anymore, or you're not realistically participating in it anymore.
Yeah.
This sounds like you more than me.
This is really bad for me. I've got half-started projects, half-finished model airplanes. Man, just odd chunks of wood because I might need that someday. I might need that, the perfect chunk of wood. I think that's the most like sign that I'm over 40. It's like this one piece of wood.
I've got some of that stuff in my garage, but I don't ever do anything.
No, you don't.
There's no way that I could justify keeping it.
But you might.
Maybe someday I'll learn how to weld.
I definitely have things that I'll be into more than others. And then, like, I have a lot of ideas. I don't have a lot of time. So I have good intentions. I am making shirts now.
I was going to say, yes. You've been talking about that.
Yes. I've been doing it, and it's been fun. And I will talk more about that on election night, I think. So Subscribe to the YouTube channel and watch the YouTube live broadcast, along with, of course, the results will be airing live on 97.1 FM Talk and Fox News, of course. But that's been my latest hobby, and I've invested in it, and I'll talk more about that then. Number 7, this is an interesting one. Inherited items that you don't love. Have you ever been given something that meant something to somebody else that has a sentimental value that you appreciated the thought, but were like, now what do I do with said thing? Furniture, appliances, something you wear, a piece of jewelry.
This isn't really that emotional for me, but we did inherit some furniture from the people we bought our house from, and I felt so bad getting rid of it. I had no attachment to it.
What kind of furniture?
But it was just a couple chairs. They were comfortable, but they didn't fit the rest of the house. And it took me so long to say, yes, we can get rid of
that. That's just because they were, in your mind, free.
I think so.
That's why.
Yeah, it was a good bargain.
Yeah.
Like, I got that with the house.
Being able to let that go and then buy the chairs that you want for your space that feel the way you want to feel, that's over 40.
Mm. I think the one thing we said, yeah, we don't need that, was the treadmill. And then later I was like, man, I wish I would have kept that treadmill.
Brad, you got anything like that?
Yeah, I do. And it's hard to part with it because it's not because it meant a lot to you. It meant a lot to somebody else, and they thought of you to have it. And so you would think it would be bad to get rid of it.
Number 8, decor your storing.
No, I don't really have anything like this. Well, maybe some Christmas stuff that you keep, but you don't ever use some of that stuff, but...
Nothing no. like the bar, the stuff for the bar that you're going to have in your house one day.
Well,
that's the dude thing. That's where men come in. They're like, oh, I'm going to have a bar.
I don't know if I'm ever going to actually have a bar, but I've always wanted to have a cash like register. A Dr. Pepper homage somewhere.
It's a man cave.
Well, the most kinda reasonable Dr. place Pepper to put stuff. That would be a bar.
And a bar would make sense.
Yeah.
Dr. Pepper on tap.
Yes, Dr. Pepper on tap. A bunch of Dr. Pepper paraphernalia everywhere.
I'd come hang out with you in that. I mean, I don't even like you that much.
You could just stay there if you wanted to. Hang out down there.
You guys done?
Yeah, we're good.
Number nine. decor for me, I think that's definitely something. It's like when you don't put it out for the holiday season, when you're like, oh, we'll just leave that tote there. No, get that tote out and get rid of it.
Yeah.
Get rid of the stuff in it, and if it's a good tote, keep the tote.
Totes.
Totes, for sure. Number nine, miscellaneous cords. Do you have a cord depository? Do you have a power supply just in case place in your house?
Yep.
What do you do with that?
Well, in the event that we get a landline again, I want to make sure that I have a splitter.
Is there no possible way that you can go to Radio Shack and get that? You can pick that up.
No, I can't go to Radio Shack and get gone. That. Yeah, I got to keep my box.
Radio Shack is gone?
It is gone. Best Buy's still around, but I don't think they're right selling those splitters anymore. About? So you got to be sure that you have one.
Or landlines.
I really appreciate splitter, people who have phone. Yeah. I like when people have landlines now. I'm like, wow, that's
my parents
cool.
have one, and I'm like, you will not let go of that. You need to have that. And every time it comes up, they're like, okay.
Do they have a classy old-style phone?
They have an answering service. This is a lady who sits there all day.
No kidding. They have a receptionist?
Yeah, it's my mom.
No. Hope she's getting paid well.
I don't think she thinks so. No, I love the landline. I would have one in my house. We ended up activating one of my old cell phones so that we have a phone in the house. Number 10, manuals.
Yeah.
You can Google all that stuff now.
Yeah, you can just get it on YouTube. Mm-hmm.
We have like all of our kitchen appliances in the cabinet next to the refrigerator. Like if you ever need to remember how to use the ice cream machine that you can't find, there's the manual.
Exactly. Or if it came with a warranty.
Yes. Last one, books you don't love.
No, I get rid of books I don't love unless the cover's really cool. I have a book that I've never read, but I love the cover, called Nightmares, and it's a book from the 70s with some dude turning into a horse.
Do you have
night.
It on display, or is it just sitting on a shelf that you can take out and look at?
It's halfway on display, but it's on display to me.
Well, that's what matters. It's your house.
Yeah.
If it makes you happy.
I walk past and I'm like, Nightmares. He's turning into a horse at night.
Do you keep books?
Yeah. It makes you look smart. You just put them up there so everybody's like, man, that guy's got a lot of books. And like, did you read those? And I'll say, some of them twice.
Why are they all dusty? That's the way they would be in my house.
I only read some of them twice.
YouTube live chat poll results next. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Andy Fry Show. Thanks for being with us here this afternoon. You know, tomorrow is Halloween, correct? Is that right? Am I counting my days correctly?
Yes.
Tomorrow is Halloween. We will be trick-or-treating tonight because the area we live in trick-or-treats the night before. So I'll be excited to show some of the costumes that my kiddos have. I'll do that either tonight on our social medias or the next night. Tomorrow, we dress up in costume. How are we all feeling about the costumes that we are potentially going to have to wear?
I've got a couple that I am rooting for and a couple I'm rooting against. So I guess we'll just see what the people have to say about it.
Whose costume are you most looking forward to seeing?
Brad's.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Why Brad's?
Don't give up too
because
much.
Because I think I know what's going to win for Brad, yeah? And that was my choice.
So it's because
I don't have any idea what's going to win for you. But I do have a choice for that, too.
What about you, Brad?
I think I am most excited about my costume. Or maybe the costume that we secretly picked out for Ethan.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that one. That one's going to be good.
Everyone's looking at me.
Yeah.
That one's going
to
be good.
It's a sleeper. That was a surprise. So you have to tune in for that tomorrow. So we're going to do it in the 2 o'clock hour tomorrow. I'm worried that if we start the show in costume that something really bad is going to happen in the news and we're going to have to report it, or really big or something, and we're going to be dressed like goons. while we're reporting on it.
That's your fear every year.
Yeah, well, in an election year, of course.
Uh-huh.
The breaking news is Annie is dressed as a giraffe.
When, yeah, I was once. That was awful. I went to Johnny Brock's again last night.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I hadn't gotten the costume for my kids yet.
What'd you get?
My 8-year-old has a lot of thoughts. The dress-up thing is right up her lane the most. My 3-year-old, of course, yes. But, like, if we didn't go trick-or-treating, she wouldn't know she's missing anything because she's 3. But, you know, do you want to dress up like this? Do you want to dress up like that? That conversation went back and forth a million times. I went on Amazon and I kept looking for things to order that were like what she wanted to do that day. And then the next day she was like, I was thinking about doing this. And so I never felt like pulling the trigger. And then by the time she had told me this is what I want to be, I went on and the delivery was going to be for today. Well, we trick or treat tonight. And I have had costumes shipped to the house that got delivered like after we got home from trick or treating on that day. And so I said to my 2 girls after volleyball practice yesterday, I said, we're going to Johnny Brock's, get in the car. So we drove back into St. Louis, went to Johnny Brock's last night. That place, when we went in and looked for these costumes, and you can go see the video of that on the Annie Fry YouTube channel, and you could see the different costumes that we were selecting for each other, and you can tune in tomorrow to be sure to see which ones actually got chosen. We went in and shopped that place before it was open to anybody else. We were, other than like 2-3 workers maybe, we were in there before anyone else was in there. That place last night was a mad house.
At 10 o'clock when it opened, when we were there, people were already coming in.
It was awesome, though. It still was fully functional. Like, if you are still thinking right now, it's October 30th, and you're thinking about getting a costume, and you're like, oh, I guess it's too late. It isn't too late. The line, if you've ever been in Johnny Brock's, you'll kind of understand this. You guys have been. The line went from the cash register all the way back to the very back of the store.
It's a big store.
It's a huge store. And I probably waited in it for like 10 to 15 minutes. They were so fast and organized. And Mary Beth, the owner, was standing there like, anybody want to take this out? Because you're not supposed to take the stuff out on your own. Because if you take it out and then you drop one of the pieces on the floor and then it's not full when somebody buys it or whatever. So they will open it up for you so you can see it yourself. They were up there in the front making sure that everybody could see it, like the size and the fit of everything, because sales are final. You can't buy your costume today and then take it back on Friday because that would suck. They were so helpful. They were so kind. There were so many people there. And I was a little intimidated by the crowd size, and it was still super easy to get done. So go to Johnny Brock's Dungeon if you're still in need of anything Halloween. You'll be glad you did. And tomorrow we wear our costumes. Want to get to the poll, Ethan?
You guys ready for this?
Ready.
Here we go. YouTube live chat poll today. Do Democrat elites really think Trump supporters are garbage? 424 votes.
Nice.
Good day on the poll. Here we go. 89% say yes, 11% no.
Oh, man. 89, that's like a
whale.
That might be near a top vote getter for us. I wanted to read this one comment before we leave. Bobo commented and said, every time Annie says Donald Trump, my 2.5-year-old says, oh, she said Donald Trump. It's cracking me up. Donald Trump, little buddy. Donald Trump. Mark Reardon next.